Defender Radio is on now.
Welcome to Defender Radio, the best internet podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 347. I'm your host, Lewis Pugh, and joining me tonight, we have Harrison Milfeld.
Hey, everybody.
And Colin Crompton.
Hello there.
Well, we've just had a Nintendo Direct, so this show is going to be all about that. We're going to be talking from the Europe Nintendo Direct. We have a list here of all the details which came out of that Direct. However, if there's any discrepancies that we come across, I'm sure Harrison will be able to correct us.
Well, obviously, when we look on there, there's people... Well, it's an absence of Bill Trennan's name on here, so, I mean, you guys know who Bill Trennan is.
We do, yes.
Of course.
So, yeah, we'll go through this list. Anything we like, we'll talk about. Anything we don't, we may move on. However, the Direct started with a Smash Brothers introduction, or character reveal, or announced video, whatever there is. Essentially, Mewtwo DLC is almost ready, but alongside this, they've also announced Mewtwo won't in fact be the only DLC for Smash Bros, proving me wrong, but there will be more characters to come, including Lucas, obviously from Smash Bros Brawl beforehand.
Sorry about that.
No, this is good news. This is a situation where I'm very happy to be wrong. So not only do we have Lucas also coming, there's also going to be DLC costumes for everyone's favourite Mii fighter. And on top of all that, Nintendo have opened up an online ballot where people can submit their own requests in for who they would like the next Smash Bros. Fighter to be.
Where to begin with this? Not the ballot, but everything we came to announce. I think it was kind of given with this Direct that you were going to be getting personally like any Mewtwo news. Obviously, the Lucas news, you're just like, you would assume from Sakurai's comments, like, yeah, this is the last character that they're doing for this. It's no more DLC. And I'm trying to think, was he either pressured into it or the fact it's like, he's really thinking that, like, to crank out as much material he can, be it through DLC, knowing that he may not direct this series anymore, probably after these two versions.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is going to be the last one that he does. You probably want to get... squeeze as much life out of it as you can. The Lucas DLC, when I saw it, it's an odd choice, you know, for Lucas.
It is, and it's good to actually see some representation. I was bracing myself, it seemed like, when they announced the Lucas news, I was like, I swear, if he announced, like, I would have dropped, like, about Mother 3 being localized in Europe and the States, I think I would have lost it, but, that was never going to be the case. But, no, the Mewtwo footage was looking fine. I mean, we're getting that as... Well, yeah, the Club Nintendo members are getting that early, I presume.
Yes, I think it's a couple of weeks earlier than where people can actually purchase Mewtwo. But, yeah, obviously, if you've registered both games, you shall get Mewtwo for free. I think it was an interesting distinction as well. I mean, for this discounts for Mewtwo and the other stuff that you can buy for Smash, you can either buy it for the Wii version or the 3DS version. But there's also a premium price if you want to have it for both versions of the game. Now, I thought this was an odd move, because it suggests that they're able to let you have it for both systems, like in a linked account type way. But yeah, they're still going to charge a small premium for that.
Are you suggesting that they detect that if you have both versions on there, it gives you the premium price?
I guess, well, I'm guessing that it will only let you buy, like, the combo pack as such, if you have two versions linked to the two systems, and then it will pop up on both. But I feel, if that's already in place, it seems a little bit stingy to pay, to be charging extra for it, having already bought both games.
Yeah, I'll just tad, but then again, it's just, you register them, I mean, we don't have to worry, I mean, all of us had both games. So,
yep.
It doesn't matter. True.
I'm thinking more so for things like Lucas and so on. You have one price to buy him for the Wii version, the same for the 3DS, but if you want him in both the games you own, you've got to pay a little bit more.
Yeah, it'd be a lot better if it was just one price, and then you get two download codes.
That's good. I mean, that's almost what I feel that doing is maybe they are going to the download code so you buy it, and they will just email you another code you can enter into your other system or give to a friend.
did anybody like how when you see a Smash character, like, once they're introduced, it shows, you know, the name, and it just shows a little subtitle? Did everybody like how Lucas comes from nowhere?
Yes, yeah, I did get that one.
Literally.
But the one thing that we didn't notice on there, that this was surprising when Colin mentioned that fact that Sakurai is probably just squeezing out as much as possible from this series, because one thing I didn't notice from this, okay, before I get this, we didn't get an update for the Miiverse stage or the tournaments. I know that, so maybe that's still not finished down the line, but again, the thing that was announced that surprised everybody for Smash, though, is there is a Smash character ballot, which you can actually, request any character.
Yeah.
And it's not like I was assuming it would be some, like, gigantic drop-down list that you would click on a character, but no, you just kind of free-form type in some sort of character that you've remembered through your lifetime. There's no restriction to who you can request it.
You know what my favorite one was?
Was it Shrek? Like going...
No. It was one. It just had Hideo Kojima, and it said in the bottom, "Reason he needs a job."
There's gonna be so many.
I was talking with Lewis last. Oh, there's gonna be so many joke things on there. There's a movement to get Goku from DBZ in there because,
yeah,
you know, Bandai Namco is associated with making the games for the series, which, you know, developed the 3DS and Wii U versions of it, like, helped co-develop it for both the Wii U and 3DS.
And they own the license, so, yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem so far-fetched now because I feel like DBZ is kind of having a bit of a resurgence right now with two of the new movies coming out and DBZ Abridged kind of giving out more... just bridging a gap, it seems like, for more people to kind of get introduced to it. But it wouldn't be my first choice, because as Colin already realized, I've been spamming the site and just writing Ridley every time.
Yes.
I do think there will be a strong movement for Ridley here.
Oh, but yeah. yours was not, I wouldn't mind, but I would be, like, Colin suggested the Inklings from Splatoon. I mean, Colin wouldn't be too bad. Well, that, but I think more, there's gotta be a bit of a movement for characters that aren't well known, but just from series that aren't represented.
Yeah.
I mean, we could probably get characters from Golden Sun or Advance Wars.
It's not something that they've discussed, but I think there may be an issue with characters which technically make an appearance already in the game. Like, I hate to say it, but I think the Ridley one may be dampened by the fact that he does make an appearance as a boss character.
And so, in theory,
if you are also a playable character, you could play on that stage with the boss character, and it would just be a little bit weird. It wouldn't break the game by any means, but I mean, that might
not
be enough for... It depends completely how they're making this decision.
Well, that, or they just code it to the point where if you're on that stage and... it doesn't, like, that boss doesn't appear. They could work around that, but I was thinking about this last night, and what if this movement gets so much steam, and they're like, alright, they obviously want it. they do it, but it's like the 8-bit pixelated version of them from the first Metroid.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
I mean, I don't know what I think, but there's so many options. I mean, I've heard people wanting to put Bayonetta in there.
I think that'd be a good choice, actually, to be honest. I'm not sure how it works with the style, but in terms of...
That'd be the problem. There's gonna be a lot of recommendations that people go, oh, you gotta put this in, but it will clash with the current characters.
That's kind of what I felt with Snake, which, again, there's another resurgence of people wanting to get him back in there, because they felt like that Snake, while it was nice to have that character in Brawl, it just, his design, it seemed like, kind of clashed with everything else that was in there, because his design was too real, it seemed like, you know, it's too human.
Yeah, they gave him the Call of Duty characters, and then there's this guy whose main hobby is breaking necks.
I just really hope, because this is open until, like, October, so we're probably not going to be seeing these characters for another year or year and a half, maybe.
Yeah, it's given a long time.
But it's... Oh no, Wonder Red was one. Was one of the that requested. I think Holly mentioned that as well.
Very good choice, guys.
But I don't know. Going off the table right now. I mean, I've said mine, obviously. But what character do you want off the top of your head, if you had to put?
Well, I have put one.
The Inklings.
It is the Inklings. I think as a character wise for the just for the actual game of Smash Bros, I think they're fitting really well. The fact that they've got a transforming move, which actually might go against them because they got rid of all that in Smash, haven't they? But yeah, I like how you could transform as your human guide to your.
Well, it could be like that. That's how they evade. They turn into the Inkling form and pop out the ground.
Yeah.
And the animations would be great.
I feel, yeah, you could splatter the stage and then you could, like, go faster across that bit and maybe you could, like, splatter the characters and slow them down or something like that. But no, I feel it would be cool just to have that vibrant colour in Smash and paint things up and, yeah, I think it'd be cool to represent.
There's already colour in Smash, but I get what your point is.
Yeah. I mean, like, just taking the already existing stages and, like, literally just painting them in the Splatoon style of oranges and blues. Just mess
very,
it all up.
Very vibrant colours. Yeah, I mean, okay, so if I had to choose a serious character to include, I would say something along the lines of like Professor Layton. Would be quite funny. I just think it'd be an interesting choice and how they would balance how he's moveset.
That's where it gets trickier, I feel. But I think Sakurai would be up for the challenge.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to mention something, changing my vote, and No. My votes are even cast, but I spammed that site last night. But if I wanted to get behind one movement, it's Slippy Toad, maybe.
Ooh.
No. But, Star Fox is overrepresented with those two, but, I wouldn't be shocked if, like, Rayman got a lot of votes.
After the fake leak.
Well, yeah, ironically, I do think that is another character which would actually fit in really well in terms of, like, a moveset. Mm. I think, like, yeah, I'm not sure you call him extendable or not, but the fact that he is limbless, I think that would add quite a lot to it.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I have a silly character to add, Captain Rainbow.
That wouldn't work,
I think.
That's from that Japanese-only game, Captain Rainbow.
It is.
Well, they could do it so it has skins for Captain N as well, as for the same character. for the Western market.
I swear, if the character that, well, they announce is Captain N, I may lose it. Not in a bad way. I would literally just break things to the point, like, I can't believe this is happening. But I think that they might be taking more than one suggestion.
Yeah, it'd be interesting how they actually. Because I don't think they've actually said, like, it's going to be the one with the, which is actually the most voted on, is going to be the winner.
I'm pretty sure they'll, like, do it. They'll click, like, the top five most popular.
Yeah, and then just pass them to Sakurai and get them to choose his favourite out of those five or something.
Yeah, or something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There'll be some rigorous elimination process, though.
Yeah, I mean, he will basically get to a point where, yeah, you see all those Ridley votes, and he's going to... He's just going to, like, have to reiterate to everybody, like, I'm sorry, I can't do this. Because, again, it just comes down to me wanting the Metroid series more represented. But that's never going to be the case. So...
No, well, to be fair, I mean, there's a lot more in this direction. We should probably move on. And
There is. But to add one last thing, I know, before we move on. I really hope it's just nothing lame. Something like, even though it'd be kind of cool, like Paper Mario, but it's like... We already have enough of that, but again, we have more in this direct to talk about.
Yeah, what I would... Yeah, I do completely agree, but I do hope it's not even worse than that, and it's not just a returning character. Like, if it was, like, Wolf, or, you know, just one of, like, the clone characters coming back, I feel this would be a huge, you know, just missed opportunity here. The fact that they, you know, they are asking fans to come up with ideas, and then just to go back to an old clone, that'd be...
Yeah.
But yeah, after Smash, we moved on to something that Nintendo's talked about previously, but has never officially shown. And at least in the European Directs, I believe it's got a different name on the American one, is Amiibo Touch and Play.
It's like Amiibo Bits and... But it was like Amiibo Bits or something.
Yeah. And essentially what this is a free app that you can download on the Wii U eShop. And you need an Amiibo. And when you tap it onto your gamepad, when you've got the app running, you essentially get to play a set of demos from NES or Super Nintendo games. And it's kind of weird how it's done, because they're not specifically for the character of that amiibo.
No,
the game series gets assigned to it at random when you first connect it.
Yeah, it's like Russian Roulette.
Yeah, and then I believe it's set as that from then on. And like, there's a bunch of different scenes from a particular or a couple of particular games, and you can play them for a couple of minutes apiece.
Hmm. But see, my concern with this is, I'm sure you guys own more than one amiibo, but I own just the one.
I have stories to talk about amiibo, because, well, once we get to the amiibos.
Well, we're talking about amiibos, it's somewhat now, so depending on what you got to say. But I do think this app's just a bit peculiar. I don't think you get enough out of it. Because obviously, we're talking about Smash Bros, that's a game where it has a bunch of virtual console demos, which doesn't seem that far off of what this is doing.
That's right, yeah.
And I feel, I mean, if they don't want to give away full Super Nintendo games, just assign a single NES game for each amiibo. I mean, it can't be too much of a money loss opportunity there. I'm sure they can take the hit, and it would be a good bonus. When you buy a new amiibo, you get at least an NES game out of it. I think that would be a cool perk.
It would be nice to actually have little bits on there, because, like we've talked about in the past, it's just these amiibos have to have more usage than just unlocking DLC.
Yeah, and this would have been a good opportunity for that, but I feel it's been a bit wasted. Or it might just be because, I do buy quite a lot of Virtual Console titles, and I was just looking at the footage they were showing, well, that's all well and good, but I pretty much own all the Virtual Console games I want to play that they offer, because I'm in a situation where I want them to just be offering a lot more Virtual Console games than they currently do. And these are all just a selection of the ones that they already offer. But I guess it should be interesting, for people who have amiibo and just don't check out Virtual Console stuff. It might just get them checking out those games. Maybe there's some classic games that they've never played. Might entice them to try a little more. And if it opens some people's eyes to some retro games they've not played before, I guess it's doing some good. They then moved on to Mario Maker, and with a celebration of Mario's 30th anniversary. So they showed off a video reel of Mario Maker, and they didn't really talk much details about Mario Maker itself, but from the footage, there were, at least what I could see, some vital information that they've not spoken about yet, which is, it appears that you can not only create your own worlds in terms of stringing together a bunch of levels that you've created, but you could then string the worlds themselves, because they showed a screenshot where it had the screen where it had world 1, world 2, world 3, and slots where you put the levels, and some of them were filled in, and it did look like it would be a scene where you could just create a bunch of worlds, save them together, and hopefully post them online. And if that turns out to be how it is, and you can just download essentially full Mario games from people and trade them with other people, that, I think, boosts its value hugely from just if it was just sharing particular stages. Because I think if it was just swapping stages themselves, it would get a bit tiresome after a while, because of the short nature of some of them. But it'd be really cool just to get someone's take on a full Mario 2D game.
I don't know. See, the problem I have with Mario Maker is, for someone like me who doesn't play a lot of Mario games, they're not really, I don't think they're doing a very good job at selling it towards a person like me. Yeah, it's just clearly aimed at the Mario fanatics, who create their own worlds, which is fair enough.
Obviously you do need to kind of really, really like your Mario games, because it's got to be, more than you just, you're kind of casual you, because you might as well just play a Mario game you've already got at that point.
Yeah.
But I think it does a good job of, even if you don't necessarily want to be making the Mario games, even though it's called Mario Maker, I reckon with the glimpses we've seen now, you'd probably still get quite a lot out of it, and just by playing some of the crazy creations that the real Mario fanatics will be making.
That's true, but it's one of those things where I want the Miyamotos to make the levels.
True, yeah.
But I'm sure someone will get creative with it.
And if you've not already, you should download the new Super Luigi U. DLC.
It's, well, this is coming out in September, correct?
That's right. Well, it's, I believe the official, I think it's September in Europe and in quotes fall for America, is my understanding. I think it's a little slightly bit vaguer for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I know one thing I wanted to actually say about this direct, though, is like two major things. I mean, now we're talking about, I'm getting off the place, is that this direct was big because, you know, news coming out, titles that are coming out, Wii and 3DS, 3DS titles coming out in the summer. Because the one big news that we did right before this direct, and it was sad that it happened, was that Zelda Wii U is delayed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't believe that we're going through all this direct news, and I completely forgot about, I'm like, oh yeah, this has been delayed into 2016. And part of me should not have been surprised, because essentially every major console Zelda has been
delayed, yeah.
Like, at some point. But say the conspiracy theories all you want about how we talked about the NX last week, how is this just going to be another Twilight Princess? See this, and I hope not, but
it's looking more likely. That's the problem.
I really hope it doesn't. Because,
yeah, I don't think it's going to go that far. I mean, it may be like slightly borderline where, you know, it is just a proper Wii U release, but, you know, at some point in the future, whether that's 6 months, whether that's a year, whether that's all 2 years or something, I reckon it might also be an NX launch title. I reckon
like a remastered edition.
Yeah,
or
I reckon they might have that, you know, waiting in the wings to prop up a launch lineup. But I don't think they would do a Twilight and, you know, actually delay it so much that they launched similar times to each other.
By the way, Mario Maker is apparently getting a worldwide release.
Oh,
September.
There we go.
Oh, really?
But,
there we go.
But yeah, with this new, I kind of figured it out, but again, leaves that gaping hole for the Wii U, it seems like, for this fall. I mean, the only thing I can probably think of that may carry it is, well, we don't know about Star Fox yet, so very little, and I'm going to assume that the European and North American Xenoblade release is going to be like, if I had to guess, August or September.
Yeah, I think it will fit around there, and at least for my personal taste, so that's definitely going to...
But we also don't know a lot. I mean, thankfully, Nintendo kept their cards pretty much well in this direct to the point where we didn't see too many things that are way up.
Yeah, there's some nice announcements, but we are very close to E3, so...
Yep. Well, but, that's a sensible thing to do, because you don't want to, you know, put out all your stuff. It's here, and then E3 we go, well...
Don't want to blow your lead, as it were.
Well, yeah. They did that once. I think it was like the first direct after the Wii U release. They got into panic mode, and they're like, just kind of showed their cards a little earlier. Because
that's right,
realized, yeah. I mean, it was smart, but a lot of it, and well, let's just say there's a couple titles on this direct that were first shown at that.
Yeah, we'll get onto those ones shortly. But next one, and it is also maybe related, we have Yoshi's Woolly World. So we saw some new footage of this game, and it looks as gorgeous as ever, at least in my opinion.
And, well, gorgeous and adorable.
Yes.
You're a big fan of the knitted star, are you?
In this particular instance, yeah. I think it looks really well. I think it suits the Yoshi world pretty well.
Yeah,
but we also saw some kind of returning enemies from Yoshi's Island, which I quite appreciated in this video. They also announced that there's going to be, like, I guess, two difficulty modes, one being the classic mode, which is geared towards us classic players, essentially, and another one...
Us classic Yoshi story players, I know. We're just looking at that.
I didn't say the word story. and the other one is, I guess, aimed at a more casual audience, where Yoshi will constantly have like, his wing power up and he can fly around. As much as he wants, and you can switch on and off wherever and whenever you want.
And it seems to be without penalty either.
Yes, yeah, it seems you just jump into the pause menu and you can turn that on or turn that off.
Yeah, switch. It's able to switch on and on beforehand. And what else do we have?
Of course.
Then
I was going to say.
Yes.
Oh, it might be what you were moving on to, but
yeah, it was like we have the. Yarn Yoshi amiibos.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my heart melted when I saw these things. I was like, I am buying all three.
Actually, we have to ask Colin, because obviously you've not been convinced by the amiibo. no. product so far. Did the woolen one change your mind?
No.
Okay. I want to go off on a short rant on Amiibo right now. I think we forgot to mention that, you know, the newest, like, wave 4 of Amiibos, which by the by the time this podcast is released, wave 4 Amiibos have already been released or sold out. Ness is a GameStop exclusive, and I was at work today, and the Fire Emblem characters of Robin and Lucina, and then there was Ness from Earthbound, Mother, they effectively shut down the website because of it. The traffic was so high, and people actually who were waiting in line at GameStops around the country, like, they you could not either buy them online or in real life, because their system was down for hours. Ouch. There were people waiting there for an hour and a half to get these things.
That's pretty crazy.
It's gotten to this point, like, you know, after each wave, when I look at it, I'm like, okay, I can see the money-making possibilities of this, and again, it's very questionable. We can go on about, like, what are these things' purpose, aside from just being just little toy collectibles. Yeah. I mean, there has to be more features to it.
Ethics and Amiibo reselling.
Yes, it is, and it's a mess, really, when it comes to this Amiibo, this Amiibo selling and this demand, but there's only maybe a few that I want. Just, like, I really wanted that Ness one, just like, okay, it's Earthbound, it looked nice on my desk, and I could probably use some features, that's really it, it's cheap, but would you agree that the way Nintendo and even exclusive retailers, the way they're putting this out, they're not giving demand to a lot of these different types of Amiibos?
Yeah, it just seems a little bit like they're trying to create an artificial demand for these things by giving them to exclusive, you know, retailers and things. I'm not quite sure I agree with that practice. Surely everyone should be able to...
Would you agree that this... Okay, I heard somebody made this comparison, is that would you agree that these are essentially the Beanie Babies of our time for the gaming culture? Like, and it's just a matter of time before this fad goes away?
Possibly. I mean,
it's making money for the company. That's what they
hell yeah.
do. And it's just they need to figure out a way to... I blame scalpers for bringing down the website. There are people on there. You go on eBay, it's triple or quadruple the price. So, do I like the idea of these Amiibos? Yes. It's just the way when they're released and how there's just chaos involved. It's just mind-boggling.
Yeah. But hey, you'll be able to get the card version soon. So,
oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and seeing as we are, we're technically still on that Yoshi Woolly World slot, so we can get the woolen card.
Woolen card.
Woolen.
You can put other cards inside it, it's like a little holder. That'd be great.
But no, even if I'm not going to use it, the yarn Yoshi Amiibo I am getting just because... For as cheap, like, it'll be like $12, and you look at it, you're like, I can't turn this down, I'm sorry.
Yeah, see, we never actually mentioned, and so the actual Amiibo functionality for Woolen World is, if you place your Yoshi on there, that another Yoshi appears in single-player mode, and you kind of... I guess it's a bit like having the double cherry in 3D World, and so you're essentially controlling two Yoshis at the same time, was my understanding of it. And you can also, because you've got the two Yoshis there, like in co-op, you can eat one of them and turn it into an egg, and then throw that. So, I've played the game a little. That doesn't seem like that necessarily would be fantastic. But again, the Amiibo itself is quite appealing. I do wish some of these, like, actual features of the Amiibos were a bit better. They do seem a little bit throwaway, because, yeah, as you said, Harrison, not necessarily going to use it for its purpose, but you're going to go out and buy it anyway. And I'm probably in the same boat there. But it'd just be nice if...
You two are crazy.
Well, exactly, yeah. It'd be nice if there was something to it, so it wouldn't look like we were crazy. So we could point to it and go, yeah, but we get to do this cool thing.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
That's yeah, I know.
Justifies it somewhat. That's what I want. I want Nintendo to help justify my spending habits on little plastic toys.
I was in a conversation with a friend of mine, and he was, like, going through, like, about how he was in line for GameStop for the Amiibos that were released, you know, at the day of this recording. And then he shows me, like, I was just like, hey, what's your Amiibo collection? I looked in there, I'm like, Yeah, I'm at like 3 or 4, I say, and I'm like, my problem is more dormant, and it's about to explode.
Oh, yeah, well, that's probably the bigger problem with Amiibo, though, that they're very timely. If you don't grab the one you want when it's available, then you're going to have a very hard time finding it. Unless your favourites are Mario, Peach, Donkey Kong, and Pikachu.
Yeah, I was going to say, if my Link one was quite easy to find.
Or Link, of course, yeah.
Yes.
Well, the Star Fox one's surprisingly hard to find. But yeah. It's... I don't know, we're trying to justify buying plastic toys.
Essentially, yeah.
At our ages.
Yeah.
It would be nice. So yeah, after Woolly Worlds, Nintendo moved on to some Splatoon. And there's some more Amiibos.
Yeah. Okay, you see a theme with this Direct.
There is definitely a theme going on here.
Yeah, and is it wrong to say, as much as I am wanting some Amiibos, but I felt like they put too much emphasis on Amiibos?
It is seeming like that. I mean, especially, kind of with the whole rotation of Amiibos, it seems like, yeah, if you're going to want them, you're going to have to buy them like the week they come out. And even then, you're probably going to aim for the very first day, if you can. It just seems strange. If they want to put this much focus on them, I would rather them find some sort of other strategy to be able to keep these around for longer, even with their own stores, and keeping like a backlog of different stock. Or, I don't know, getting more shelf space and retailers and so on. But yeah, I think this situation could get out of control very, very quickly with all these games having Amiibo's compatibility. But yeah, for Splatoon itself, because I've mentioned it, I'll talk about Amiibo stuff first. So there's going to be 3 figures. There's going to be, I guess, Squid Guy. Squid Girl.
Squid. Squid Girl, you mean...
And Squid.
And Squid. Squid. didn't we just explain earlier it was Inkling?
Yeah, that's why I called him...
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Squid, Squid Boy, and Squid.
And so, the actual uses of it seems somewhat better than the other Amiibo uses I've talked about so far. So if you put one of your squids on the gamepad, they will give you missions to do. And they seem to be some like exclusive missions, and if you complete them all, you unlock some exclusive like costumes, which your character can wear on multiplayer. So it sounds alright. It depends.
It sounds better than most Amiibo usage.
So. And depending on what these missions are, it could be really quite cool. But the other non-Amiibo stuff was mentioned for Splatoon is they pretty much reconfirmed the local co-op or the local multiplayer on this game. Because it's like that they technically announced at the very first time they announced Splatoon itself, but never discussed it since or gave any details on it. And they confirmed that one person can play on the TV, the other can play on the gamepad, and it at least supports... a mode where you are essentially battling for points, and it's kind of like a target practice spread across a normal arena, which, I don't know, at face value doesn't sound as fun as the other modes, but it might just be how you best deal with, having 2 people in that type of gameplay.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. It's they could have still done it with, like, bots, things like that.
That's true.
AI-controlled opponents. Yeah. I don't know.
The other peculiar thing is I don't believe they mentioned what the other controller support was.
True.
You would assume it was the Pro Controller?
Pro Controller, probably, yeah.
And actually, maybe the reason why this mode is what it is what I was about to say, is how would you, do that, jumping to other players and so on the touchscreen.
Mm.
I guess if it was literally 1-1, you just wouldn't need the ability.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of the reason. And I think most of the other information about Splatoon was stuff we knew, just slightly more new footage of the different multiplayer modes and the single player mode. Yeah, I think that was it for Splatoon.
Well, we did watch the stream. Did you guys catch the live stream, whatever, of Splatoon afterwards?
Oh, the Treehouse stream. I didn't actually, no. I just
no, neither did I.
It was good. They were just showing off, whatever, and they showed off the Squid Boy, Squid Girl, and Squid Amiibos. But, no, more I look at this game, whenever online and probably locally, I could see this probably being a, like, an the next good, like, good both locally and online multiplayer game that Nintendo has put out, finally.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's look, not that I've played it, but it's looking like it's going to have a solid, just regular single-player game. I'm getting Galaxy vibes from it for some reason, every time I've seen the single-player in that game. But maybe that's just me.
Oh, we did get a release date, though, for this.
And what's the release then?
May 29th. So, and I believe that's a worldwide one, too. So we'll be getting that all at the same time.
Yep, not too long now. Can't wait for a bit of more Splatoon.
it is. It's a May 29th worldwide. So
that's pretty cool.
Not far now.
Yep. So after Splatoon, moved on to some indie titles. We had Affordable Space Adventures and Sword and Soldiers 2, which I believe is already out on the American eShop.
It is.
It is, yeah. So they showed footage of both of those. Affordable Space Adventures has some interesting co-op modes to it, where different people can control different aspects of the spaceship, and you have to, you know, help each other to navigate through, and there's, like, stealth aspects, and lots of interesting things, actually. That one's now back on my radar. And Sword and Soldiers 2, honestly, does look pretty cool. I played the original game, and that was pretty good, and this looks like a better version of that, so should be interesting. But after those two, we moved on to some virtual console goodness. Nintendo 64 and Nintendo DS games coming to the Wii U virtual console. Yeah, and about time for the N64 stuff, right?
And yeah, knowing that we're never getting GameCube games.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, it was just doing it now.
I've already settled on it. It's like, yeah, that's not going to happen, so.
Yeah. And if it does, it'll be like some weird Wii mode hack. Like the Wii games. If they figure out a way that they can get GameCube running there, too.
That there was at one point we were, because they announced that there were DS games were going to be coming, I think it was like early 2014, and it never happened. And now we have them.
Well, us in Europe got Brain Age free. And nothing's been heard since today. So I think the game lineup here is quite peculiar. Well, there's one which makes perfect sense, which is Mario 64 heading up the Nintendo 64 side. We'll also have Donkey Kong 64. Interesting choice.
I hated that game.
And that seems to be the general consensus on the internet now, is that is kind of hated for being like the huge collector font.
The collective, Rare at their collective height.
I gave up when I had that game at one point because, like, I had so many...
You didn't want to collect all the bananas?
No, you were just facing a door which had this ridiculous banana count on it. That was probably it.
It was that, and I was like, you know what? Yep. I'm not doing this game. I'm sorry. The boss battles were cool, but on that, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah, but I think what would be good about these is playing them on the gamepad itself. It'd be cool to have like this giant portable 64.
Yeah, portable.
The controls will work absolutely fine. You're gonna have a nice size screen for it. And obviously playing on the TV as well, so that add a bonus.
I'm actually very glad that they did the original Super Mario 64. And didn't do the Super Mario 64 DS version.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad to.
Oh, yeah. Which
I think make a nice transition. We'll talk about the DS offerings as well. The first one is WarioWare Touched, which is my least favourite of the WarioWare games, but I still might revisit it on the Virtual Console. It might be something which is silly enough to check out at a random multiplayer gaming session for a few laughs.
One of the games, I think you guys get WarioWare Touched, unless it's for us, but we got Yoshi's Island DS, which I did own, and that was another Yoshi title where I just kind of gave up in the middle, not because it's hard, just because I lost so much interest to it. I was like, I got it solely the fact, like, the art style's back to what it was from the original, like, you know, Yoshi's Island, and, I don't know, switching off between different characters like Baby Bowser, Peach, Mario, and even Donkey Kong at one point. It was the height where I was like, it just didn't, it failed to capture the charm of the first Yoshi's Island.
Yeah. And, actually, yeah, there is another DS game, which is Mario Kart DS. As good as the game was on the DS, I think it's not going to look particularly great on the TV.
No. I think it's generally the least liked.
Well, it was one of those that got the... It was the... Yeah, this one came out before Mario Kart Wii, correct?
That's right, yeah. It was the first one with online.
So that's where it got started out, and it sold really well, just knowing from name alone, but also it had actually a decent online system.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it had some good modes. I mean, it had like a single-player mission-type mode, which hadn't really been seen since.
No.
Obviously, we won't have the online stuff for this DS Virtual Console port, but we will have the two screens and having a 3D DS game blown up on the TV. I've not seen it yet, but I can't picture it looking particularly good.
It's going to look very stretched.
It's going to be a lot more stretched than like Mario Kart 64, for example.
Exactly. Yeah, it's going to be... Maybe I could... can you play it just on the gamepad?
You can.
So, that's probably the way to go. I mean, it's...
Yeah, what does look good about the DS Virtual Console is that basically for any of the games, you can like set up those two screens in a bunch of different configurations. You can have it like in the obvious, have your top screen on the TV and your bottom screen on the gamepad, or you can have both on the gamepad, both on the TV. Or you can just have, you can have like overlays and such. It looks like they've done a bunch of different options. So certain games would make more sense with different options, I guess. And some you could just, you know, just blow up the one screen on the TV and, you know, just play it like a traditional game for the most part. So I think the real question here is, like with the Wii games, which got announced at, a couple months back now, is how they will keep the support going after the initial batch of games they've announced today.
I was going to say, because N64 support died pretty quickly on the Wii.
Yeah, I think they only released, 10 games for it?
Something like that.
It went to a crawl, so...
I hope it doesn't die. It just doesn't go that way again.
I think it's a good start that they've put, of all things, Donkey Kong 64 in it, just because it's a game which hasn't been re-released in any form. So hopefully they'll be releasing other games which haven't been re-released in any forms.
It's a shame, because a lot of the games that people would want from Rare on the S4, they can't use because of the license attached to it. So, we have to...
that's the same way when we got with GoldenEye. I mean, it was supposed to be on Xbox Live Arcade, but then Nintendo and Activision, which at the time... I think Activision still owns the 007 license now, got in, and so it was just a matter of, like, how can they split this money? Because Rare developed it, Nintendo published it, and now Activision owns the character.
It'd be very tricky to negotiate with the new Rare and Microsoft for the bad jokes we get. It ain't gonna happen.
No, unfortunately, I don't think it will. We have a slight transition here. We're moving on from... Well, it's one form of virtual console to another. We also had an update of the Wii games. And I think this bit may have just been the European Direct. I may be corrected here, but we have, I guess, another confirmation that it was Pandora's Tower and...
Sin and Punishment.
Yes, yep. Sin and Punishment, Succession of the Skies are coming soon for the European Wii Virtual Console.
Yep, I mean, it's interesting choices, because they're both quite niche games, I would say. Yeah, I mean,
I'm trying to remember if they had anything for us. No, I don't think so. They did not.
That is odd.
I could be wrong, but yeah. Mm.
So there are a few differences for this Direct, and we'll move on to another one of those shortly. Before then, we have Shin Megami Tensei, Fire Emblem collaboration title, which
finally
is a very slight rewording of the cross before, but yes, we now know the game is definitely being developed since it was announced, and we have announcement trailer for it. So what were people's initial impressions on this?
I was glad that it's still alive and no longer the last guardian, essentially, for the Wii U. But, no, I like it how we use, I'm interested how they use the Fire Emblem characters in this Shin Megami Tensei universe. But, I did see a lot of people some people were upset just at the first trailer to it, which is, you know, pretty lengthy trailer, anime, like, quite a good animated sequences, but a lot of people got this Persona feel to it, and I just didn't understand people's, like, hatred toward it, but it's, no, it's good to see that we're getting more RPGs for this console, and, one with Xenoblade coming out, this one, it's just good to see that it's finally being released, or it's still going to be released.
Yeah, because usually we don't hear about a game for, like, a two-year period. You generally get a little bit of, you know, anxiety about it.
This game was announced when we first heard about Xenoblade Chronicles X, and that was when it was just called X.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one game has been having, like, very frequent updates and strong developments, while the other one has just been in the dark.
Yeah. And they asked, it was when they asked the director of the game, I think it was E3 2013, they just asked him, you know, how's the game going? And, yeah, it's going fine. And that's all he said. It was like, okay.
it's there. That's all they care.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely looking forward to this. I'm somewhat looking forward to this than the upcoming Fire Emblem title, which is interesting.
It is. We'll come up to that in a bit. I mean, as good as this video looked, though, I couldn't quite make out how this game is actually going to play.
No, they didn't show off much of, like, the combat system or...
Yeah,
I couldn't make out... Couldn't make out any Fire Emblem characters for a bit, even though it's
nor could I.
No, it was just, I could see some of the like designs from Awakening, but they just literally they riff because it seems to be like set in the future. So it's like we use the Pegasus horse and becomes like a hover like thing. And it's like, okay, awesome, you know, great. It's an interesting direction to take, I think.
You know, it's looking great, and it is cool to have another. And it's up to say it's like another exclusive Japanese RPG, which looked really good. Exactly, yeah. It's going to be at least next year, this one, I believe. Okay, and next we have some news, I'll use the American name here, for Fatal Frame, which has been confirmed to be coming out into the West. Over here in Europe, though, it's actually part of the Project Zero series. So slight difference in naming there.
It just shows with this game, well, that getting localized, you know, I think it should, like, you know, I think Nintendo and them noticed they listened to fans to finally bring this over. I mean, I played maybe once or twice in this series, but it's good to see something like this finally come here and get localized in the States.
Yeah, especially when, I mean, in this particular instance, it's a game which is, like, kind of found a really great use for the gamepad, because it uses it in that kind of Pokemon Snap type, you know, use it as the camera. And that seems to work perfect in that game's universe, and the controls are right up for that job. Not only that, it's only an original horror game, and there aren't that many of them nowadays. So I welcome any of them, whether they're for the Wii U or not, to be coming out.
Knowing how Resident Evil has just devolved into more of action.
That's not a horror game anymore. I mean, I'm one of the few who like the new Resi games, but they're not horror games anymore.
Four, I enjoyed, I loved four. Loved four. Five, I was tolerable. Six, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it was anymore.
The game didn't know what it was either. No. It was like four games bolted together. Yeah.
It just didn't know. It was, you were so much involved in that game, it's like it didn't have its own identity.
No, I completely agree, but we're not getting too distracted. I was still impressed just by kind of the gigantic nature of it. It seemed like a very high production value type thing. Like just there were huge set pieces and all that, and as following the story and so on, it was pretty cool to go through. But yeah, that series has completely changed to what it used to be. But yeah, so it will be good to go back to some more, you know, to its roots survival horror.
Yeah.
Which is the sort of vibe I'm getting from Fatal Frame. Not that I've actually played any of the game.
Well, Fatal Frame, I think, always aims for more psychological scares.
Yes.
Rather than just, like, you know, schlocky B-movie scares. That, something breaks through the window. This is more quite deep experience.
Something that's been missing since almost, Eternal Darkness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's very... I get that sort of feel from this game. So, yeah. I'm very intrigued.
Yeah, and I believe there is a second one which is announced for Japan already. I'm hoping I'm not in the wrong here. Or maybe it's an update to this game. It's including, like, one of the characters from Dead or Alive? Or something peculiar like that?
No idea.
unless it's DLC for this game in Japan. But yeah, it seems there is at least some sort of developments which have been happening since in Japan on this series for the Wii U. The next thing, we have a 3DS game based off the I made up a new word there. it was a fusion of manga and anime.
Based off
the popular Japanese manime, Attack on Titan. So the first question I want to ask, have any of us watched Attack on Titan?
Oh yes.
I know, I know people do, but I just never got it, really. I mean, I'm a guy who loves Cowboy Bebop, but it's just like, I know this is a completely different anime, but just like, I never got into the manga or the anime, so.
So you have, Colin?
I have. I haven't watched it recently. I watched it, like, the first few episodes when they came out, and I haven't gone back to it since. But
okay. So our next question is, does this game intrigue you at all?
It does. I mean, I love the show. The few the episodes I did watch, I really enjoyed it. So yeah, I'm quite excited to see what this has to offer.
Yeah, I mean, the gameplay does seem quite faithful to what they actually do in the show itself, zipping across these gigantic titans, and the fact that you can work together, local or online, I believe, up to a four-player team to take down titans. Does it look like it could be quite faithful and quite fun as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that they sort of taken a trick from Monster Hunter here in the sense that you create a team of four and you take down giant things. So,
So all the range is this.
It is.
The next one we got on our list here, it's another Europe piece here. Azure Striker Gunvolt finally coming our way. I don't have the date at hand here.
Yes. It's been a while.
It has been a little while now, but it's also coming with the same promotion America had, which is we also get Mighty Gunvolt if you buy it. Quick.
It's always good.
Very informative podcast.
it's coming out April. Actually, it's out now.
Woo-hoo.
So, there you go.
Yeah, here's a good segue. Something else which is out now. Box Boy.
Yay!
So this is the puzzle game, which released in Japan, a few months back now?
Yeah, it was like back in January, I think.
Yeah. Where you control a little block, which has legs, and you can create other blocks.
His name is QB, I believe. It's like QBBY.
I don't know why, but I had this vision of you just saying Gary.
Gary? Gary?
It looks like it's a fairly cheap and cheerful puzzle game. It's got like a kind of Game Boy-esque aesthetic. I've not got it yet, but it's one I'm going to check out and report back.
Yeah, I believe it's already released. It's already available by the time this podcast is already airing. But more of these I want to see Nintendo do it. And this is done by HAL. Guys, of course, did Kirby. So this is one that I really want to see more of. It's like that love letter to old Game Boy games. And that alone is just drawing me in.
So do you reckon we could see Gary in Smash now?
Gary. why are we calling him King Gary?
I don't know.
Because it's been established.
It's been established. No. A Gary amiibo, that would be nice.
Yeah, the problem is when I write Gary on my form to on the Smash ballot, I'm not sure they'll know who I'm talking about, unfortunately.
They're talking about Gary Oak, that's who they're thinking about.
Yeah, that would work. Ooh, that'd be interesting. Anyway. Moving on to something Pokemon related. We have Pokemon Rumble World. And this takes, obviously, the Pokemon Rumble series, which has had a few entries now. The last one being on the Wii U, which used the NFC figures, which weren't amiibos, and wasn't greatly received. This one, obviously, Nintendo's hoping for better results with the freemium model. Like the most recent Pokemon game on the 3DS, you can download this for free, and there will be microtransactions to help you progress through the game. In terms of the gameplay itself, though, it does look like Pokemon Rumble, essentially. So if you like those types of games, it's probably worth downloading this for free when it comes out and giving it a go and seeing what you can get out of it. I do think it's interesting how they're releasing this so quick to the other Pokemon freemium experiment. It's just like a month apart, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, also, it's interesting that they're doing more of these type of experiences, as I would call them. I haven't played a Pokemon
game. So. Pokemon Rumble is such a basic game anyway, so I'm not sure it's really going to be affected too much by this model, because it doesn't look like they've taken anything away. It's like a single button.
It's interesting that they're using Pokemon as that their main premium, franchise. With like Shuffle, things like that.
Mm.
So...
Yeah, might just be it's something which is being driven from the Pokemon company, as it were.
Possibly.
As like their routes that they want to explore, particularly, and it's not necessarily something that other parts of Nintendo necessarily wanted to venture in headfirst. But yeah, it could be something... telling about what they might be doing with DNA and mobile some point in the future?
Maybe.
but yeah. I mean, I'll be willing to give Pokemon Rumble World a try. I mean, you can't go too wrong with a free download.
No.
Yeah. It should be interesting. Next up, though, is a peculiar one, which is an update to the Street Pass Mi Plaza for the 3DS. Which comes with a few options here. We have two new Plaza games, but we also have a new premium package or service. I'm not sure the terminology here. And this, to be honest, is confusing me a little. Because out of this premium package, you get a birthday feature and you get a VIP room feature.
Yeah, it's...
And I don't quite understand either.
No,
or why you would want to pay money for them.
Yeah, no, it definitely seems a bit like a cash grab opportunity for them. I don't know.
And this is someone who actually generally really likes that little Mii Parser and Street Passing and that side of stuff. But I don't see the point in the birthday and the VIP room. Might just be something I'm missing. But I watched the Nintendo Direct, and they didn't make it clear to me, if I'm being honest.
It didn't particularly say it very well. I was baffled. Who is this aimed at?
I guess the Japanese market would be my guess. It might make a lot more sense to them. They get enough usage out of it that those little small perks would be quite beneficial for them. But the two Street Pass games themselves. Obviously, I've not heard any first-hand feedback from anyone yet, but I may pick them up. I do quite like the current Street Pass game, so two extras would be nice. It's been
I still haven't purchased any of them. Yeah. I just kept it. To think I don't really go into the Mii Plaza that often.
I guess the handy thing is, though, I mean, it's not when you do like a couple of Street Passes, even if that's quite an uncommon occurrence, you don't have to only use them in a particular game. You get to use them across all the games.
That's right.
You don't have to spread it then in that sense. So after the Street Pass Mii Plaza update, we have some more info on Puzzle & Dragon Z. And to be completely honest, I'm not entirely sure what we found out new about this. We saw some new footage. They kind of reconfirmed it is that kind of double pack with...
At a cheap price, though. I think it's like at $30 here in the States.
Maybe that was it then. Discounted price. But now, in my opinion, it's still looking quite pretty cool. I like the fact that they're actually doing that double pack over here where they are both sold separately in Japan. And, I believe they announced there would be a demo.
Yes, that's for the Super Mario edition.
Yes, which I was just about to say, it would be good if they did that because I'd like to check out a demo before I buy it.
Makes sense.
Yes.
So well done, even Nintendo or myself.
Well, is anybody interested in picking this up? I mean,
well, that's
why
I wanted the demo. I'm willing to try it for free. I'll give it the opportunity to win me over.
Well, thankfully, I mean, didn't they announce something for... Yeah, it was like, they mentioned something more about Codename Steam. And the one thing that turned me off in the demo was that when it came down to the enemy phase, it took so long just to wait until your turn. And thankfully that they did say that they're going to put an update to it where you can able to speed up the enemy's turn.
Yeah, so, I did hear this. So I'm like, interestingly, that wasn't mentioned in our direct. Because we don't have Codename Steam yet. So we just had a general, here's a bit more footage on Steam, it's coming soon.
Yeah.
So I assume that that stuff will be kind of baked into the version we have from the get-go. Would be
probably
my guess. Because we're getting it later. They'll probably line that up. But yeah, that's good news, because that seems to be the common point across all of the reviews going into Steam. People seem to really like the game, but really hate waiting around to play it. So yeah, I like the fact that they're speeding it up, and the fact that they can get a little bit even more time out of it from the new 3DS, I think is pretty cool too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next on our list is Fire Emblem for the 3DS.
Or Fire Emblem If.
Yeah, essentially Fire Emblem If, although technically working title over here currently.
Yeah.
Yeah, we heard some interesting details on the Direct, then after the Direct we heard some more specifics, which were quite strange. So I'll start with what I heard on the Direct itself. Nintendo was saying that you'll be able to, you know, choose your alliance, essentially, and not only would, like, the story path change, but, like, there'll be, like, one of them is kind of aimed at the more easier one, and one's aimed at the harder route.
Yeah, and because we're, the character that we're essentially going to be our avatar in this series is not necessarily, like, a side character or anything, like, supporting character in what we did in Awakening. It's actually the main protagonist. And what was it they announced on there? Oh, is the fact that you have to choose between two factions to join. And it's like something you're born from this faction but raised by this other, and you have to choose which one to go with.
Which sounded really interesting. But after the Direct, some news came out is how they're actually handling this kind of split story and split game content. In Japan, they are selling these essentially as different games.
Yeah, two separate games, yeah. So it's like the Pokemon route.
Kind of like the Pokemon route. And they're also selling a third SKU, which is both of them all on one cartridge.
So, wait.
No,
let me get this straight. Japan, which, okay, this is coming out in Japan in June. And sadly, everybody, this is not coming out here in the States until 2016. That's another disappointment there. It's going to take a while for them to localize that.
Yeah.
So, they're going to go the Pokemon route with this one, and each version is going to be whatever faction you join. It's not just going to be one cartridge like, oh, I can make this choice.
It seems to be the case.
That's stupid!
It is.
That is really stupid!
It kind of defeats the whole name that they've given it for the Japanese title as well. There's no point calling it if the if decision is which game to buy.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Make the decision in real time.
That is stupid. The unless this is... Somebody can correct this. It's like, the purpose of that gameplay mechanic where you choose a faction should be in both in the same game!
Yeah, but okay, there's this extra detail here which doesn't necessarily make it much better, but might slightly remedy it, which is on either of those versions in Japan, you can pay a much more smaller nominal fee to download the other story into your game. So it's nowhere near the price of a full game.
Okay,
I don't know what that is. But it is still an additional charge on top.
Now I'm starting to think of this one. So, it's not essentially the same game. I mean, okay, whereas it's like Pokemon titles that are released, you have different sets of Pokemon and a different rare Pokemon. But it's just essentially the same gyms and badges. But with this one, you're just going from, I'm just going to assume, just different conversations. So,
I think it's more than that. I think it's not only is it just different conversation story points, it's the actual missions themselves, my guess would be completely different on each story path.
See, if that is the case, then that'd be great. That's like getting two Fire Emblem games at once.
Yeah, that would be. If they're at a nominal price, so. I don't know.
I think that's what they're doing, and they've not announced their plans for over here. My guess is currently that they're just going to put everything on one cartridge.
I was reading this, I think, beforehand. Because I saw it, because I assumed, like, oh, two different games. I think for here in the States, it's going to be, like, DLC.
Oh, maybe they're doing that option then. Where it basically is the easy version, and you buy, optionally, the harder bit as well. Maybe that's the route they'll go behind, but... We'll have to wait and see. They've not said officially yet.
Yeah, but aside from my complaints, I mean, this game looks great.
It does.
I mean, the cinematics that they have for this one, the animation on there, I'm trying to think, is it the same people doing the same animations for this, or No. It is. I know it's Intelligent Systems, but I was wondering if they're doing the same game engine.
I think the... So yeah, I'm not sure about the actual engine itself for the graphics, but I know the art design is being done by a different studio, essentially.
It was some famous anime, some guy, God, I forgot who, some artist, the Japanese artist that is very famed, so yeah. I gotta think of it. But no, I mean, looks great. Just sucks we're not getting until 2016.
That is true, yes. But, yep, the Fire Emblem Awakening is one of my favourite 3DS games, so I'm definitely up for more Fire Emblem, even if I need to buy some more content to add on to it afterwards. Mm. But I feel the one good thing which comes out of that is, because I feel Nintendo's been pretty good with their DLC, not so much with their Amiibo content. but because of that, I feel if they're willing to charge for it, it's going to be substantial.
Hey kids, you want this DLC? Yeah, buy these toys.
But yeah, I think without paying any extra money, you'll get a full game's worth out of whatever version they let you buy. And if they let you buy more, you essentially are getting a lot more on top of that original game purchase. And if it is anything like that, then yeah, I'll be happy to pay for more Fire Emblem on top of my Fire Emblem.
Yeah, it's always that's a good investment to make.
Yeah. And so next on the list, we have some Animal Crossing news. This isn't the big new Animal Crossing sequel. And they didn't say whether this would be a DLC game or a cartridge game, but I assume it's DLC.
That's what it was confusing about.
And the game is called Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer.
What a title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although it makes quite a bit of sense, I feel, for the aesthetic they're using. It takes place in a room of an animal from Animal Crossing. And they give you a criteria of, I want my house to look like this. And you then, you play the happy home designer, and you make the house up in an Animal Crossing-esque way. Yeah, you just kind of clear those kind of puzzles, as it were, by trying to set it up as they want it to.
They didn't show a whole lot about it. I mean, it was actually in the direct for a grand total of 8 minutes.
That's true.
So,
even though it was just in there for a minute, they did announce even more Amiibo support. And now, these are the first Amiibo cards. Not the first fluffy ones, though.
We're going to be hunting cards and figures now.
Yeah. So the Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer cards, I think they do kind of two things. One, they give you an extra puzzle, an extra set of puzzles to do, and they will also let you bring the animal featured on that card into someone else's house, so you can have a animal pub.
Yay! God,
house is excited.
I probably would, but jeez.
Actually, alongside this, there was some other information which is potentially more interesting than Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer in itself, which is the NFC reader for the regular 3DS and XL and the 2DS, and it's uses the infrared port, kind of this big circular puck thing, which you would place your cards or figures on top of, and it would be
the
latest.
It looks nicer
CBS.
Than the original version of the NFC reader that we saw on
yes.
the 3DS. Looks a lot more sleek.
Yeah, cool. We'll move on then to our final piece of Nintendo Direct news, which is Mario Kart 8. And so I guess keeping with the Animal Crossing theme, they showed off the new Animal Crossing track, which will be part of the next pack of DLC, which is coming out later this month.
Yeah, which is a little bit earlier.
Earlier than expected. And the Animal Crossing track, every time you play it, the season will change, how the seasons change in the game. And obviously there's lots of different themes for Animal Crossing, such as the animals themselves, environments and so on. Looks like a pretty cool track. I don't think we saw any of the other tracks involved in the pack itself. Mm. But what we also...
I think there's only one track. Yeah, one.
Yeah. But what we also found out is not related to this DLC pack, but is going to be free DLC for all, which is a 200cc mode.
We're getting close to Mario Kart becoming F-Zero, people.
Yeah, which I kind of groaned when they first like announced it, but when they started showing off the footage of it, it actually got me quite excited, because it did look like it felt a bit more like F-Zero, genuinely. Because it looked like the speed bump was considerable.
I think that's their plan. I think that's Nintendo's plan. Like, well, we can't get any ideas for F-Zero right now. What should we do? We make Mario Kart faster.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because there's already an F-Zero track, and you can use the Blue Falcon. So now you've got the speed boost as well. Put all of them together, and you've got your
F-Zero fix.
Do you realize how chaotic this is going to be online and even with friends and computers? Oh dear. You won't even be able to one star, probably one cup.
Probably not, but it'd be interesting to see, I suppose.
That's the other thing to consider, yeah, how evil the CPUs will be when you're just trying to go through the
one
player modes.
Left, right, and center.
I'm just a little shocked they announced this another bit of this update to it. I was thinking, like, okay, this last bit of DLC for Mario Kart, that's it. It's pretty much done, but the fact that they're doing, good lord, 200cc racing, I'm mad to play with my Pro Controller, because I'm afraid I'm going to break my gamepad.
Quite possibly, yeah. And I like they highlighted on the video, like, you can do, like, extra shortcuts, essentially. Like, you can just, like, skip certain bits by zipping around much quicker than you would before. And it might even, like, change up the dynamic of which weighted cars will be better. You might have, like, the lighter cars having an advantage in this CC. If it has any effect, that would be really interesting to see online. But yeah, I think this is cool. It's just free, and it's just going to come down on everyone's Wii U's, and it works online.
It's nice that they're giving more attention to this, whatever, but just to kind of keep more interest in Mario Kart, even though the name itself does, you know, people will buy it just to the name alone.
Oh, absolutely,
just to end on this, was anybody just a little disappointed that it ended on that? Just Mario Kart, like the big reveal at the end was...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I was thinking the whole time, like, we gotta get an update for Xenoblade.
I reckon if they switched this with, like, the Shin Megami Fire Emblem video, it would have just kind of left a better flavour in your mouth, as it were.
Yeah, a little bit.
Ends on a more of a high. On something new.
Well, yeah, I understand that, because it's just, I think you figured that, we have E3 coming up in June, and if I had to guess, probably before that, I had a feeling they may get a Splatoon one, and that's it.
Yeah, I reckon there'll probably be a Splatoon Direct. But yeah, I don't think we're going to have any announcements till E3 now, in that sense, in terms of new stuff. Yeah. Are we getting quite close already?
I was hoping for just the slightest tease of Star Fox. So.
Yeah.
Bit at the end, like, oh, just quickly watch this 2-second video. Like, oh, great.
2 seconds, or just the title. The title, that's all I care. And who's developing it?
Yeah, we still don't know. There's a lot of stuff we don't know about the new Star Fox game, which is coming out this year.
Please be Platinum Games, please.
Yeah, that would be
great. So yeah, we've come to the end of our list now. Is there anything particular that I've missed, or something you guys want to bring some extra attention to here?
The fact that the fact that I still can't stop laughing at these entries for the Smash ballot. just search for it. It's hilarious. Like, people put on their Tom Nook, and I feel like...
Well, yeah.
If we could try and encourage any of our listeners here to vote on a particular character of our choosing, would it be the same answers we gave earlier of who we voted for ourselves?
Oh, it's got to be Layton. Yeah, it's got to be.
I think it wouldn't be surprised at Layton. Professor Layton, it's...
Okay.
That's got a bit of a hashtag movement going, but no, another one that I did see, though, is like from Super Mario RPG, people have been wanting to get Geno.
Yeah, yes.
Oh. So, yeah, I mean, that could be it there, but I don't know. But no, but again, what did everybody think about this Direct, just overall? I mean, it wasn't disappointing, but it wasn't like, oh, blown away mini E3. It was nice to get some updates on some games, but I felt like it was maybe missing one or two, and the high focus on amiibos just felt...
Yeah, there was a lot of amiibo, but I think, like, with how close it was to E3, I didn't have my expectations super high. And so I came out of it kind of really satisfied. I felt there was a lot more stuff there than I was expecting.
Yeah.
None of it was necessarily huge. Well, there was some like really good stuff, like, you know, the Shin Megami reveal. But yeah, like, there's just a lot of little bits, which I wasn't necessarily expecting. And it kind of
The two big surprises I got for me was the Shin Megami Fire Emblem reveal. That was just a nice welcome to see that still exist. And the fact that Lucas was going to be in Smash Brothers, because that just basically contradicted what Sakurai's comments that he was done making DLC.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's been overdue, but just like getting 64 support rolling on the Wii U Virtual Console is good to see as well.
Yeah.
Hashtag rest in peace GameCube games.
I think it's an average direct. It's just that the Shin Megami reveal, yeah, slightly raises it for me, but yeah, I think it was an okay presentation. Wasn't mind-blowing,
it didn't help quell too much knowing, but I think that's what E3 will do to kind of quell the fact that, you know, we're not getting Zelda this year, but also this is the only thing that made me mad was I could take a delay. I could take a delay for, you know, Zelda, Wii U, but the fact that they're not showing it at any form at E3 is just
it's peculiar.
But they did say they're only even focusing on titles at E3 that are going to 2015. So
maybe it's a bluff. Maybe they will show it.
You know, that again, I believe everything that Sakurai had said, like, oh, we're done, Mewtwo's the only bit of DLC we're doing for character. Mm-hmm. No.
Cool. Okay, I think that about wraps it up. As always, you can send in your comments and questions to us at contact@infendo.com. Before we go, what we'll do, we'll go around and we'll give out our Twitter and Miiverse handles and any plugs we want to give. Colin, would you like to start?
Yes, okay. So, if you like to contact me on the Wii U, my Nintendo Network ID is Cole1990, COL1990. My Twitter handle is @HeliumBard. It's like you think it's spelled. I had to get that in there.
You always have to get that in there.
It's sort of a catchphrase now. As for plugs, I would just like to give a brief mention to NintendoFever.com. I was kindly invited onto a Nintendo Direct prediction show, which it was great fun. And
how did you do in your predictions? Just very, very quickly.
I did the Wii games I got. I actually managed to name both of the Wii games, which I'm very proud of. That was my crowning achievement, but everything else I got wrong.
What were they again? What were the Wii games that they used?
Pandora's Tower. I said that would be a good one to do.
Oh, the Virtual Console, okay.
And Sin and Punishment. Those would be the two best choices, and yeah, I was like, yes. But everything else, ashamed of myself, really. But yeah, so check them out. It's a great site, and
excellent. Cool. And how about you, Harrison?
Yes, my Twitter handle is HMilfeld, all one world.
World of all.
Yes, this is it. HMilfeld, HMilfeld, as in dog, and my my Miiverse handle or Nintendo Network ID, whatever you want to call it, is Hybrid Meta, HYBRIDMETA.
Okay, and if you want to add me on Twitter or Miiverse, the name you need is Luvsion, which is spelled LEUVSION. And with that, thank you all for listening. This has been Infendo Radio.
See you, everybody.
Goodbye.